Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we have a great topic we're going to be talking about, which is Runaway Husbands, an Abandoned Wife's Guide. You know, we can talk about divorce from here till next February, and there's a zillion different reasons why it happens. There's a million different reasons that you could have done something differently, but really, the biggest thing to realize is there's an event happening, you will get through it, and you will recover on the other side. Been there, done that enough times of my own to know that. So I think it's really important to say no matter how you might feel today, there is change along the way. But also to be able to take care of yourself along the way, to be able to get what you're supposed to be doing, to be able to cover your own bases, and also to take care of your children and your family and your possessions if that is what you need to be doing. Because sometimes people say, I was such an emotional wreck, I couldn't figure out, you know, A or B, and he took everything. Or I really didn't know, and I kind of just went on medication, and the days seemed to slip by. And I didn't even notice it till like 10 years later when I finally said, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I did. So really, it is definitely about being aware where you are, what's going on, but also, too, to be aware that this time it truly will pass. My guest today is Vicki Stark. She's the author of Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. Vicki, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a real pleasure to be here, Dr. Jeanette.
So, Vicki, don't you think you got to remember that it's an event and you'll get through it, right?
Right. I mean, I think that when a marriage ends in this way, and, you know, maybe we could start off by just giving sort of the definition of what a runaway husband is and why that is a different
Sure.
kind of divorce. Yeah, because, you know, it really is unique and it really is far more difficult, as hard as divorce is for people to recover from. Experiencing a runaway husband, or what I call wife abandonment syndrome, is a hundred times 100 times harder. And the definition is, the hallmark or the definition of wife abandonment syndrome is a pattern of behavior on the part of a husband who leaves his wife out of the blue without ever having told her he was unhappy in the marriage. So this is, you know, this is not a couple
right.
that's been yelling and screaming and fighting and going to marriage counseling and, you know, and threatening divorce over a long period of time. This is where a woman believed that she was in a stable, happy, secure relationship until the day her husband comes home and taps her on the shoulder and says, it's over, I'm out of here. And then following his sudden departure, he replaces the caring he'd typically shown her with anger and aggression. So this is, these are often marriages that were really good marriages, where the husbands were loving, attentive, you know, very expressive, brought flowers, you know, seemed to be very well attached. And then it's even more confounding and confusing because as soon as he leaves, he sort of turns on her with anger and aggression. He often moves directly in with a girlfriend, leaving his bewildered wife totally devastated. So in like 99% of the cases, there's somebody else on site who's sort of waiting in the wings. And this will undoubtedly be the defining event in the wife's life. And although recovery is a struggle, many women find that it forces them to reinvent themselves in positive and exciting new ways. So that, you know, sort of in a nutshell, is the definition of wife abandonment syndrome and sort of the explanation of a runaway husband.
Yeah, I think this was my first marriage. It was a runaway. He just didn't show up one day and just called and says, I'm not coming back. And, you know, on the beach with all of these women. This was in the 80s, though. And
yeah.
That was just the way it was. See you later. And, well, what are you going to do with the kids and the house and everything else? Well, it's all on you. See you. And hung up. And and it is pretty difficult, I think. Also, too, because afterwards, not only do you get anger on the side, sometimes replaced with loving on their side, on the husband's side, but it's also, too, you get manipulation because they will float back between tethering you to get what they want to be able to have things work for them. And they will also then just flip-flop. So, in other words, the situation might look good. Hey, I'll be nice because then I can get this. You know, I can remember going to court, and my husband at that time had said, oh, it's no big deal. This is just a little thing. Don't worry about it. You know, everything will be fine. I'll meet you later for lunch. And, you know, this is fine. We're good. We're good. You know, I'll come and see the kids, and we'll just go back to the house. Well, after court, I went to go for lunch, and he was calling the cops to saying that I was stalking him. And I'm going, what the heck? You know, so you have to remember is that they're very manipulative, too, you know, that the
right.
very core there. And it's just it like it's all in its glory, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think that sometimes things can really deteriorate. And not only will the guy be concerned about sort of covering his own interests, and making sure that financially, you know, that, you know, where he's always been so loving and generous with the wife prior, you know, once he walks away, and particularly when he has a new girlfriend, he really couldn't care less. You know, he really shows no interest and no
right.
concern towards the wife, and often towards the welfare of the family and the children, you know, which is really devastating. But and I think that is the thing that's the hardest for women to recover from, because they just can't put the pieces together. You know, they just can't figure out how did somebody who appeared to be such an engaged, loving husband morph overnight into an angry stranger and seem to be, you know, wanting to hurt her. So, you know, there's that negativity, there's the anger, and then that manipulation, which is
right.
which is part of what I call gaslighting. And what gaslighting means, there was a movie in the 1940s called Gaslight. And in the movie, Ingrid Bergman's husband was trying to make her think she was crazy by flickering the gaslights. And she'd say, do you see the gaslights are flickering? And he'd say, no, they're not. What are you talking about? They're fine. And so she had to sort of challenge her own sense of reality. And, you know, in the runaway husband scenario, you know, sort of what you're talking about, Dr. Jeanette, is like exactly that, where you think that, you know, you have certain expectations of a person's behavior, and then it's always flickering on and off or changing, or he's using things that had been positive during the marriage to sort of throw at you or turn against you. So people sort of, women feel like, where is reality? You know, not only has the end of the marriage signaled a change in the present and in the future, but it also signals a change in the whole past. You have to sort of reevaluate your whole relationship, because he's now, you know, sort of putting it down and saying it was never good. And remember that time we went to California on
yeah.
vacation and you thought it was so much fun? Well, I was miserable the whole time. And you're like, what? You know, how did that happen? Because, you know, he is manipulating the memories and manipulating the marriage to
yep.
give himself a reason to have left.
Oh, don't you love it when they get you to the point where you are questioning your own sanity? That's a really tenuous place to be. And I know in my situation, you know, all of the families, both sides, kept saying, he's so nice, he's so loving, what's the problem? It must be something wrong with you, meaning me. And
yeah.
this went on for decades. They kept saying that, you know. And, in fact, they still, I had met with an uncle I hadn't seen for a while. And the first words out of his mouth, how is that husband? I said, you mean the one that I divorced 25 years ago? You know, but yet they were still attached to that. And they also, that husband never saw his kids, had no
yeah.
interest,
oh my gosh.
Didn't bother. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough place. And, you know, we're shining today Vicki and I are shining the light on situations because while there are zillions of situations, something might enter your mind and say, oh, man, I never thought that. Or, oh, goodness, that was me. Now I don't feel so much of an outsider. I don't feel like maybe it was unusual or something. So I really think as we share these stories that people can relate or feel comforted or feel that, you know, they're going to be okay too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that what we've learned from since the book Runaway Husbands came out in 2010 is that this is really pretty epidemic. I hear from women all over the world. I get emails from women in Mongolia, in South America, in Europe, in, you know, just everywhere, Australia, England, you know, all over the place. You know, women find my website. If you Google wife abandonment, you'll find my website. And, you know, they go to the website and they can't, first of all, they thought they were crazy. They thought they were the only one. They thought there was something wrong with them. And then they're so relieved to start to read the material on the website to learn that, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. And there's this whole syndrome that's been defined and explained that helps me feel as though it's not me who's out of, you know, out of my mind here, but that something was going on that really can be understood. Yeah. And so that even if, you know, the listeners themselves have not experienced anything like a runaway husband, but nowadays so many people know somebody from work, a cousin, a friend, a neighbor, their mother, you know, who have had this experience. It's becoming identified as a syndrome that's pretty prevalent. So, I mean, I think part of the important thing is getting – sorry, go ahead, yeah.
No, go ahead, finish.
Yeah, well, part of the important thing in getting the word out is exactly what you're commenting on, which is, you know, that it really helps people recognize that, you know, although everyone says, oh, when there's a marriage breakdown, both people have to be involved. Well, I don't totally agree with that. I think that sometimes a marriage can be going along, you know, in whatever fashion it's going along, and if somebody decides to bolt from the marriage, that really, it's just not fair to the other person, you know, that she, in this case, it's a she, doesn't have the opportunity to work on it, to work it through, to talk it through, to maybe get help. You know, it's a fait accompli by the time she's heard about it.
And that's absolutely true, because what we really do need to emphasize on, there is a huge difference, as you've said, with runaway and regular divorce, because with divorce, you sometimes, you know, if you kind of, as you've said, have been going to therapy or you've been fighting all along, you kind of just give up and you're done. But with runaway, it's sort of like the shock hits you and you just aren't prepared for what's coming next. And usually, in many cases that I've seen and in mine, things went so rapidly that the shock period hadn't even worn off and everything was finished and finalized. Whereas sometimes with divorce, you know, just as long as you've been fighting is just as long as you'll fight to get the divorce and just as long as you'll fight after. But sometimes I think with runaway, it's just like wham, bam, man, you know, it's like here, there, and done. And you're going, you know, what do I do? It's sort of like you just have to keep riding that roller coaster every day and you've got to get up and pay attention and be aware. But sometimes it's just, you're going to do the best you can. And I think it's important also to state that even if you are in this space to say, you know, I thought I could do better and I missed all the signs, or I thought I could do better and I would be aware in this point and take care of myself and my kids, but I didn't. I made a mistake. And that, I think that's awareness also, is aware that you made a mistake, but also aware that you can change it in the future. And also to remember that it's never, ever about pointing fingers about anybody or anything. Just go through the process. Because pointing fingers, I like to call them a lead foot. Every time you point a finger at someone, you're going to be stuck with that forever. It's sort of like that anger thing in your body. And it's the more you collect of those, the sicker you'll get and the more stuck you'll be. So just don't even be bothered pointing the fingers. Just get yourself through it and, you know, you got to move on.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think that the thing that always troubles me is when, you know, many years later that it's been hard for a woman to be able to get her self-esteem back. So that, you know, for a lot of women, this is, you know, it's the ultimate rejection when somebody just walks away from you, and not only that, walks away to move in with somebody else. But actually, you know, they need to recognize that very often they're just innocent bystanders in a drama that's taking place in this man's life. That, you know, that he's going through these changes, he's gotten to a certain point in life. And often, you know, the guys sort of look around at the age of, you know, late 40s, 50 or 60, and they say, is this all there is? You know, I've been a good husband, I've been a good father, I've been a good son, I've been a good provider, I've been a good worker. You know, when do I get to be James Bond? You know, and so then they, you know, they meet somebody at work, and often it's a much younger person in a less established position. And, you know, they think that, okay, now's my turn to try to grab some excitement before I get old and sort of lose it all. But, you know, what you're talking about is important because there are stages, you know, and the important thing for women going through this is that as miserable as you might feel in the first, and I'm tempted to say year, because this takes a long time to recover from. I mean, definitely in the first 6 months. That, I mean, you can be extremely traumatized and even in a serious depression. But that there are sort of marked stages that people go through, and eventually, if they keep working at it, you know, that they can try to have some optimism and recognize that it is possible to recover from this. So, you know, if we have, can I give sort of an outline of the transformational stages so that people can understand?
Sure, that would be great.
So they start off, and when they first get the news, I call it the tsunami phase. So the tsunami phase is that when you first get hit, you're informed out of the blue the marriage is over, and you feel like you're drowning, you know, you can't get your feet on the ground, and you go into shock, you know, and the world just looks unrecognizable. And following the tsunami phase, you move into the tornado phase, where your thoughts are spinning, you're very obsessed, you know, you can't sleep, you're trying to figure out what happened. You're trying to make some desperate plan to turn it around, and it's a crazy and dangerous plan, a time when people, you know, get into car accidents and sort of do crazy things. And then when that settles down a little bit, they move into the thunderstorm phase where they're feeling besieged, raw, and fearful, maybe a little bit more functional, but they never know when the next thunderbolt will hit. And that's when you get served with divorce papers or when you hear that, you know, he went to Thanksgiving dinner with a girlfriend to your in-law's place, or, you know, the next destabilizing event takes place, and it's like another thunderbolt that's going to upset you. But then after that comes the longest phase, and this one I think people will really recognize, that I call the ice storm phase, where you just sort of numb. You're just putting one foot in front of the other, and you're just, you know, trying to survive, and it takes a very long period of time, and I suppose it's the mourning phase, you know, mourning the life you had, mourning the relationship you had, and not really ready to move on, but sort of just stuck. And then following the ice storm phase is the fog phase, you know, where your interior world is still gray, but the feeling is not as intense. And although you're still struggling with your emotions, your mind is slowly starting to function again. And then we come to sun shower, where sometimes you get a sunny day and sometimes it's a rainy day, but the sun is starting to peek through. And then we move into the two best phases, the next being early spring and the last is temperate summer day. So that, you know, when you're back in the tsunami phase, you can't imagine you're ever going to enjoy a temperate summer day again. But if people keep working on themselves and keep trying to grow and build their lives and you know, do their job in life, whether that's your job or being a parent or going back to school or whatever, you know, that they will eventually pass through all the phases and get their lives back and get into what I call the new normal, where they can start to feel like themselves again in spite of the fact it's different than what the life was like in the marriage.
And it's all of those phases are different for other people. For many people in different lengths of time, they may go through, you can go through one or two of those phases in a month, or you could go through one or two of those phases in years. So it's very speculative on what is good for you. But what we are saying and what Vicki is saying is that there are stages and you can recognize them as you pass through them. And I think that that's really important. Oh, dear, I can remember, I think this was in the 70s, That was a long time ago, and we were teenagers then. Well, I wasn't a teenager. I was a young adult. But anyway, you know when you used to put sugar in a penny in the gas tank of their real fancy car?
In other words, you want to get your revenge
back. Oh,
Lord
have mercy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That was, and I didn't harm myself, nor did I harm, you know, anyone else in the process. I just said, oh, I see that pretty nice fancy car. I think a penny and some sugar would do it great. And, you know,
this is not a recommendation to anyone listening.
Passive thing.
Yeah.
It was just a passive thing outside of myself. But
right.
We look at people and we say, you know what? A lot of people really do. They take it to the other extreme and they start harming themselves. Or they still go out and they start to hurt both of the other parties. When really, in the long run, that's really seriously not going to serve you. Because it will come back to bite you. Yeah. If you start making threats or you start doing some physical or verbal action on others, that does come back to bite you these days. And really about paying attention and being aware again is really what it's all about.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. I mean, you want to be able to feel when you put your head on the pillow at night that you're proud of yourself. And although there's a guilty pleasure in, you know, doing something to harm somebody, you know, and trying to get revenge, In the final analysis, you end up feeling, you know, you don't feel proud of yourself. You feel there's a certain shame in it,
too.
Right. And particularly if there's children
watching. Especially if there's children.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And, you know, because
the children
feel,
will pick up on it. They'll go to school. Don't you think the kids will go to school and they'll hear, I saw you do something, or my mother said you said this, or so-and-so said that they saw you here or there. News travels fast, especially dirty news, you know?
Absolutely. You know, that's absolutely true. And but, you know, even apart from children, we wanna be proud of ourselves, you know, and we want to feel good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as it's normal, it's totally normal to want to hurt somebody who's hurt you. That's normal human nature.
Right.
But and that happens, you know, and particularly in the early phases when you're just, you know, you're still bleeding, you know, you're still emotionally so fragile. But hopefully after, you know, after several months, I would really encourage people to try to get a grip on that impulse, you know, the impulse to hurt, because what really happens is that you really don't end up hurting the other person. You just end up looking like a lunatic yourself. So the other person can say, you see, that's why I left her. You know, she's screaming, she's crazy, she's doing all these things, you know, and you sort of write yourself into the script of being, you know, being, even if you'd never been so, you know, so behaving in such an unusual kind of way. But then, you know, you're giving your ex-husband, you know, ammunition to be able to say, see, it's a good thing I left her, because she really is, you know, she's off the wall. So that you want to be able to have that, to take the high road, you know, that's what I call it, taking the high road, and I write about that in Runaway Husbands, so that people can look at you and say, you know, he's the snake in all of this, and you're behaving so well, and you can feel proud of yourself. And as time goes on, you know, where we want to get you to is where you care less. Not that you're careless, but that you really start to care less. You know, so what? You know, he left you, and he moved in with the girlfriend or his student or his employee or whatever. And, you know, but you're going to make your life meaningful and good and rich and happy. And it's going to start to hurt less as time goes on. And that's really the goal. That's the direction that we're going in.
And also, to be perfectly clear, to put sugar in a penny in a gas tank, well, it didn't hurt him at all because the car didn't even start. So,
yeah.
No, in other words, you know that little disclaimer in the bottom? No physical beings were hurt in this event. But anyway, and also, too, we think about, you know, it's also, too, you may have to look at those around you, your family and your friends. People take sides. And it may just be a weeding out time where some of those relationships and acquaintances do have to fall away, because otherwise it's just like always jumping into the toxic beer, as we would call it, every time you're around them, because you start hearing that trend of he said, she said, or, you know, people relaying things back and forth. Now that we're in the decade of social media, it's a whole lot easier to have a train of conversation that really is irrelevant or damaging.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, that's not where you want to go. And I think that, you know, one of the things that was so inspiring for me in writing Runaway Husbands, to write the book, I interviewed 400 women worldwide who had had this experience. That's a lot of women. So I heard a lot of stories. Yeah. And one of the things that was so inspiring was to hear about all of the women who maybe had, you know, been devoted to the family and devoted to the husband and all of that. But then when he left, in some ways, it sort of freed them up to go searching for their own identity. So I'm thinking about one woman who loved to cook, who went to China and took cooking courses in China so she could cook Chinese food. And, you know, another woman I write about in the book who became a kayaking expert and was winning, you know, all sorts of kayaking competitions in her age range, and people who go back to school and become social workers or do other jobs, or people who want to volunteer and want to help people. And so that right. This, what, like any crisis in life, it can either turn you bitter or you can make it into an opportunity, mm-hmm. a springboard for change. So really, you know, what I try to help women with is how are you going to be able to cycle through all the phases, recover from having had a runaway husband, and get to the point where you can contribute more to the world, be happier in your skin, be proud of yourself, accomplish something in whatever way you can, whether it's just to be kind to somebody on the street, or, you know, to plant a nice garden near your house, or, you know, to rescue a puppy from the pound. You know, whatever makes sense to you. It doesn't have to be big, broad strokes. You know, not everyone can go back to school and do a degree or go to China and take a cooking course. But in whatever way that we in our own communities and in our own lives can start to enrich ourselves and enrich our relationships, you know, then that makes the crisis of having been left into an opportunity for change. And that's where we want to go with any kind of crisis.
Right. And we've spoken many times on this radio show before, is that you take a crisis, whatever it is. It could be health. It could be mental health. It could be a life event. It could be a child event, whatever it might be, or a financial event. And you just say, okay, after this, I'm on the top of the line. My husband's not the number one focus. My kids, while they should be the number one focus, I also am, because without me, they wouldn't be here either, or I wouldn't be able to take care of them. And even financial, you know, you need to be able to stand on your own two feet. So really, sometimes you have to look at it as, well, it's my time, and now how can I nourish myself, or how can I expand myself into knowing more about what I might have learned here? And what I can take, you know, going forward. I can learn that I'm a strong person. I can learn that I can get through anything. I can learn that I don't have to be nasty. I can learn that to be more choosing with my acquaintances or the people around me. I can learn to be a little bit more protective of myself and pay attention to my own heart and my own ego or my own thoughts. So all of these different things is definitely an awakening time. And if we look at it that way, sometimes it can ease as you go through the stages, and you'll start coming forth and saying, now I get it, I'm okay, and we're good to go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that it is a progression, and I don't want to soft pedal or downgrade how traumatic it is initially. And how
right.
painful it is initially, and how, you know, how people suffer you know, there's all sorts of songs about heartbreak, but there's no heartbreak worse than having been in a happy marriage and having the person turn on you. So, it's pretty extreme. So that, you know, where you're coming from initially after the end of the relationship, and you know, one of the things I talk about is that there's two types of runaway husbands. There's the type of runaway husband who the wife thinks she's in a happy marriage, and he literally comes home and says, "I can't do this anymore," and then throws his stuff into garbage bags, gets in the car and leaves, you know, and is out of the house within a few, either the same day or within a few days. And then, and I call that the guillotine kind of runaway husband. And then there's the death by a thousand cuts kind of runaway husband, where he's back and forth and back and forth. He's like, "I'm not happy. I'm going out. I'm not going to stay here anymore." And then he comes back in, or he's living in the house, but he's sleeping in the basement. And, you know, and she's like agonizing. Is he going to leave? Isn't he going to leave? And she feels as though, you know, she's on trial there. And sometimes that can take, you know, weeks, months, or, you know, maybe even years until he finally pulls the plug and leaves. You know, and that's a lot more debilitating. But either kind of runaway husband, you know, that people can become very, very hurt and very diminished. And, you know, a lot of women lose a lot of weight, you know, 10, 20, 30 pounds. They stop eating. They go into like a clinical depression. So that although, you know, ideally at the far end after, and I usually say to people, expect for a real classic runaway husband that you're not going to feel normal for about 2 years. Which doesn't mean you're going to be miserable for 2 years. It just means that life is just not going to feel normal for about 2 years. You will get your life back, but slowly, you know, over those 2 years, you know, things will improve. But, you know, that it takes a long time to go into the next phase and to really feel at home in your life. So, you know, I have a lot of empathy for the women who contact me or who visit the runawayhusbands.com site. Because they are suffering profoundly, and they need all the help and support and sisterhood that they can get. And so that's, you know, that's the benefit of being able to have a conversation like we're having today, or, you know, going to the website, and we have a community page where people write down their thoughts and feelings, you know, or definitely picking if anyone's been involved in this situation. If you pick up the book, you know, that you'll find that it's very, very soothing, very helpful, and very clarifying. It helps you at least understand what happened to you. So, you know, so there is help out there. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of times therapists don't really get it. They feel like, hey, everyone's been divorced. You know, what's the big deal? Why is this any different than other divorces? They don't understand how devastating it is, and they might make the woman feel badly about herself that, you know, 6 months or a year later, she's still in rough shape. But, you know, so that's the advantage of being part of the Runaway Husbands community, that you recognize that it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It's just a pretty profound and traumatic loss.
And if people do say that, like they said to me, and it was like over 25 years ago, you know, that what's wrong with me, and they still say it to this day, you have to be strong enough to say, thank you. Just don't even listen and don't engage. I always tell people don't engage, because if you stand there and have to go at it with them, you almost feel like you're right back in the situation that you were in the beginning, and you're almost, you know, back into that negativity circle that you just don't want to be on, and you've spent all this time trying to shed. So sometimes I just don't even pay attention, you know, or, you know, you just have to let it go. And it's interesting because when we lived in the West Coast, you could go down the street in some neighborhoods, and all of a sudden there would be like this great big, you know, those dumpster things that would be out in front of like this real expensive house. And you'd think, oh, they must be getting ready to move, or are they doing remodeling? And you look at the neighbor, and they look at you, and they don't say anything. That's when the dumpster got there, because they're throwing all their crap out, and that's why it's there. And people just don't say anything, but the people in the neighborhood knew it by these dumpsters being out, you know, who was leaving the house, you know?
Right. That something was up. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. And also, let's talk for a second about financial, because, you know, sometimes when those men leave the house, your credit cards are shut off that same minute, if not before he even got there to tell you, or he hasn't been paying the bills, or he stops paying that minute. been there, done that one too, you know, and that's a pretty tough place to be too. It's sort of like not only do they cut you off at your knees, they pretty much are burying you. For some women who have not been working or, you know, were helping their husbands with their business or whatever, were supporting them by taking care of the kids while they went to school or whatever, whatever that might be. So definitely financial is something that you want to say, oh, my goodness, right?
Yeah, I mean, I really feel for people who, for example, who haven't been working, who and also who haven't really known what's happening financially. You know, if they're not really plugged in, if the husband is
right.
the one who's taking care of all the finances, and the wife has just been trusting him. I'm not saying don't trust your husband if you're in a marriage, but you know, but that really it's important for women in any kind of relationship to really know what's going on financially. To make sure, you know, to see is the house in one name or both names, you know, to know, you know, where
right.
the savings accounts are and to be aware of all that. But more importantly, for women to be able to be responsible for their own lives, to be able to sort of know what's happening financially and otherwise in their own lives. And, you know, whether if they're not working, if they're staying at home and taking care of the household and running a family, then, you know, to be conscious of how they can put aside some money, how they so that they won't be 100% in that situation where, you know, the marriage ends and he turns his back on her and she's totally devastated. So, you know, I know that you're so right, you know, that happens all the time. And it's, you know, it can compound the difficulty in recovery, you know, when you have this financial insecurity as well.
Yeah, it will just take you on a ride. And also, too, don't you think that with the children, people put up a front and you really don't even know what's going on in the marriage or you don't know what's going on afterwards when someone leaves to be able to know what to do. I know with children, they say, oh, well, everything was great at our house. But then all of a sudden, or they say, everything was really crappy and, oh, I'm glad they're gone. And children are very intuitive, and you have to look at that because not only do you yourself need therapy, the children need it just as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mention it. I just published my third book, which is called The Divorce Talk, How to Tell the Kids. And so for that book, I interviewed 100 kids whose parents were divorced. And I really, really learned what kids need to hear in that talk where parents tell them we're splitting up, how to do it in a way that protects children and reduces the risk of trauma, because it can be tremendously traumatizing for children, and particularly in a runaway husband's kind of circumstance where it's not like they're seeing mommy and daddy fighting all the time and they're prepared. So the wife is not prepared, but the kids aren't prepared either. They have no idea that, you know, that the marriage is breaking down until all of a sudden one day, you know, the dad moves out. And so that is a very, very difficult scenario for kids, because not only are they shocked that the marriage is over, but the mother is so compromised and is so fragile and is crying and is such a mess that she can't give them a lot of help and security either. So, you know, that, you know, one of the things I learned in interviewing kids for my book, The Divorce Talk, is how parents can soften the blow by really staying tuned in to the children and tuned into the children's needs, in spite of the fact that they themselves are going through an emotional roller coaster. So, you know, that's the hard thing. I mean, a lot of times people say, I'm a family therapist, so I work with families. I'm a divorce counselor and a marriage counselor. I work with families all the time. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, kids are so resilient. And, you know, maybe in some cases kids are resilient, but in many cases kids are not that resilient, you know, that these things really do hurt them. And they really do need parents to be parents and not to be behaving like, you know, overgrown children, yelling and screaming at each other and upsetting the children, and without, you know, parents being sensitive to the emotional needs of the kids. You know, I don't blame parents at all for being upset or maybe having fights, you know, occasionally in front of kids. But if it's an ongoing thing, mm-hmm. where, you know, the kids are really not protected from all of the issues and all the dirtiness that often comes up at the end of a marriage, then, you know, it's really the job of the parents to be parents and to really take care of those children.
And also, too, if you look at the new, the latest reports out, the ACEs report, you know, these are children who will play out in adult life what they saw when they were younger. I know here when we had Hurricane Katrina, that's 10 years ago, and everybody says, ah, everything's fine. However, the crime is very high, and the crime is from children who are ages 15 to 25. Well, if you look at things back 10 years ago, where were they when they were 15 or 25? They were 5 to 15 years old, and their parents were not able to take care of their own selves because they had to survive. How could they take care of children? So really that's what you have now is you have angry children who are now young adults. So it's really important to look at these different aspects, you know, when you're talking through, because you could say your kids seem okay now, but wait till they get to be in their 20s and 30s and choosing a spouse, and they're like, well, I'm going to command it this way, and there's no way they're going to get to do that. And, you know, they bring those traits forward that they believe that they missed so much in their life.
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, I don't want to make it into a, you know, a horror story for parents, because, like, you know, 40 to 50% of marriages end in divorce, and not all children end up having difficulties, you know, finding a spouse and loving and connecting and all of that. And not all parents do it wrong either. I mean, there are people who get separated and divorced who can be kind and gentle with each other and respectful of the needs of the children, you know, so that although the children aren't happy about it, pardon me, at least it's not a trauma for them. So definitely there is, you know, there's a whole range of ways that parents handle their children's emotions. But, you know, that's really, I suppose, the name of the game. You know, it's what I call attunement, you know, how parents can be attuned to the reality of children. And part of that is, you know, to not want to turn the child against the other parent, even in the case of a runaway husband. If the other parent is willing and wanting to be involved and wanting to be an appropriate parent, you know, that kids need two parents, they need the love of two parents, and no matter how angry you might be with your ex-husband, those kids still need a father. And so if it's possible to just button your lip and keep your mouth shut in front of the kids so that they can have a decent relationship with both parents, then you're really being saintly, you know, you're really doing the right thing for your kids.
And definitely there is a full range. I think it's also, too, to be aware of what the ranges are sometimes, because you can say, oh, I'm tending to go towards this way, and that's really not where I want to be. Almost think of it as a bumper cable. You know, I do not want to go down the slippery slope and be that type person. I want to rise up and be better, and I want to be nicer, and I want to be caring and loving, and I want to take care of myself and my family. So it's,
yeah,
it's about
exactly
knowing that. The range. It's about knowing the range so that you know when you yourself are getting in trouble and saying, no, I see what's coming down the pike and I'm not going to go on that road.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, very often people do need some kind of therapy. They do need a counselor when they're going through a wife abandonment syndrome. And, you know, they can, if they can find somebody locally who can help them, who can understand the extent of their experience, and can support them so that then they're more able to support their child. And, you know, often the family, the extended family, the aunts and uncles, the parents, the grandparents are very important, and, you know, we don't want to forget them because they are the backbone
right.
that really helps the wife through and helps the children, and they're great resources if people can take advantage of that.
Well, goodness, Vicki, we didn't even stop for a breath, and we're right through the end of the show. Could you share
it's been
with
great
the
talking
a
with
little
you.
Bit more? Can you share about how people could find out more information about you? That would be great.
Yes, of course. Well, definitely you can go to our website, which is runawayhusbandsplural.com, and that's the easiest way to learn about the community of women who've experienced wife abandonment syndrome, and also to access the book as a download, or it can be purchased, of course, from, you know, online booksellers like Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And, yeah, and if anybody is interested in contacting me, my email address is Vicky, V-I-K-K-I, at runawayhusbands.com. And I'd be happy to hear, you know, if anybody wants to comment on the show to me directly. But it's been really a pleasure talking with you, Dr. Jeanette, and I really want to thank you and welcome the opportunity, you know, to be able to spread the word out there. You know, and my interest is always in helping women, and, you know, today we've been able to do that a little bit, and I appreciate it.
Yes, I think we really did a great job of putting all different types of circumstances out there and really have a, as I call it, casual conversation about a topic, because what we're doing is we're shining a light on all the different aspects instead of just saying this is the way it is and period and, you know, that's the way it has to be. We really are saying that, you know, there's a lot of different things going on and really do pay attention and be aware. And I really thank you for being on the show today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Vicky Stark, her book is The Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page where her website is listed. Just click on there and it'll go directly to the website. And if you're in this situation, just know that there's a lot of help and support out there. You'll find some on Vicky's website. You'll also find some on my website. And you'll also find some just by finding Facebook or social media groups, and there's quite a few. Just find something that would resonate with you and just take care of yourself, because really that's the name of the game. You have to take care of yourself and your children. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to be with you. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.